Today on Locked On Rockies, swab the poop deck, aka the Colorado Rockies.
You are Locked On Rockies, your daily Colorado Rockies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rock on Rockies and Pirates fans, welcome into the Locked On Podcast Network. This is the Locked On Rockies and the Locked On Pirates podcast, a crossover. We do what the Ghostbusters say to never do. We cross the streams, we cross the beams to bring you wonderful content here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Proud to be your first listen of the day. Thank you all so much for tuning in and enjoying and catching your team every day on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Today on this wonderful podcast, we're going to talk about the most recent series between the Rockies and the Pirates. Ethan feels a heck of a lot better than I do, and I didn't want to do a solo podcast today because I probably would have just ranted for about an hour and a half. And so I had to bring Ethan in so we can actually break down this series without me and my frustration of, I believe now it's four or five straight losing series for the Colorado Rockies. I think it is five. Ethan, welcome into the show. Thank you so much. What went right for the Pirates at the end of that game yesterday?
Offense. Something they don't have a lot of, right? Yeah. This was the first time, if I'm not mistaken, if I go through the entire schedule real quick while we're here. Yes, this was the first time they scored more than five runs since May 11th against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Yeah, that's not good, considering yesterday was the 25th of May. So that means they went two full weeks pretty much without scoring over five runs. And obviously, for you Rocky fans, I don't think you really expected Jack Sawinski and Josh Van Meter to be the reason why you guys would be losing a game like that, giving up two three-run home runs. But the Pirates are undefeated right now against the NL West at the current moment and have a chance to continue to prove that against the Padres and the Dodgers over the next couple days.
That is one of the most baseball sentences I think you can say. I mean, they're the Pirates. They don't score, but yet here it is. The NL West, arguably, and I've said this, arguably the best division in baseball. And here they are, all this other stuff aside, and they take down the NL West. They currently are dominating the NL West. And it's so fascinating to me, but so frustrating from the Rockies' perspective. You can't have that whatsoever, especially against a team that struggles to, that hasn't scored more than five runs in since May. What did you say? Two weeks. It's been
May 11th.
I don't know. The Rockies skid has plummeted them to, they've been the worst team in baseball, I think, over the past 3 weeks. And it's only gotten worse. If you go into Pittsburgh and you lose two out of three, not only losing those, but getting dominated by Pirates pitching. And I mean, are those pitchers having that necessarily the good year? I mean, the end of the Pirates rotation into the starter, the Rockies made them look like Cy Young candidates.
Well, Rolandi Contreras is one that we've needed to see for a while, and it's been well overdue. So I'll give you JT Brubaker, and then I believe yesterday's game was Zach Thompson. Yeah, those guys have been kind of struggling a lot to begin the year. But Rolandi Contreras, man, of course he loses, obviously, because, you know, he was the one who actually had a very good outing.
Right.
Just, again, makes sense, baseball. But Rolandi Contreras, man, he was kind of the beginning of the start of this youth movement. All of a sudden, it's happened this past week. They lost 18-4 on Sunday to the St. Louis Cardinals, and everybody was like, oh, well, something needs to change. And apparently, Derek Shelton held the entire clubhouse accountable and said changes were coming. And he wasn't lying. I mean, just in the past 3 or 4 days during this Rocky series, ironically, you've seen Rolandi Contreras, Yuri De Los Santos, and Cal Mitchell all get called up. I guess O'Neill Cruz doesn't exist. I think he's just a figment of my imagination at this point. But Mason Martin could be up here pretty soon, too. So the youth movement is finally happening, and it's something that I've needed to see for a very long time.
Yeah, I wish we could say the same with Rockies fans. I mean, there's not necessarily the big youth movement. They're not ready necessarily yet. There is starting to be some bubbling promise, but the Rockies need change. They bring in all this change, but then they get nothing. And of course, headlined, Chris Bryant back on the IL yet again, missing more time. They're not worried about surgery or anything like this, but the Rockies tailspin continues. And I'm just what's your main takeaways from this series? Does it make you feel more confident taking down a team like the Rockies in the NL West? Are you happy to see? Do you think this will lead to potentially more offense down the line? Or is it just kind of the baseball gods decided that the Rockies get to be the more miserable team in the series?
I think it really boiled down to the fact that once again, the bullpen was just really strong for the Pirates. It's been the one consistent thing that we can go and look back on to say, okay, the bullpen has been awesome. Dylan Peters, Will Crow, David Bednar, those guys have all been awesome. Even Yuri De Los Santos yesterday, I believe, came in the ninth inning, if I wasn't mistaken, and actually pitched a pretty good game as well. The only thing that really confused me was Mitch Keller pitched 3 1/3 after Thompson. Keller's a starter, man, and I'm tired of them doing this moving starters to bullpen crap because it worked out with Will Crow. They're like, oh, well, our starting pitcher's struggling. Let's just throw him in the bullpen and start doing openers and closers and set up. I'm like, you know, it all works out, but there's no streamline anymore. Like, you would probably know this as well, that there's no streamline with pitching anymore. It doesn't really matter. I mean, starters are not going the traditional seven innings like they used to. You don't have the traditional setup man and all that stuff. So that was my biggest takeaway, again, was the bullpen final, or again, just saved our ass for the most part. And maybe it ignites this offense a little bit that they realize, okay, we can actually hit the long ball, but they really need to invest in some power in this lineup, and that's going to come from the farm system whenever Cruz and Martin come up. But right now, they just have to do what they can work with. And thankfully, I say thankfully and unthankfully, they have an off day today, but I wish they didn't after scoring 10 runs, because it would have been nice to just take that from yesterday and just extend it into today.
Yeah, I mean, you love that. You do that. Definitely want to carry on that momentum, and hopefully the Rockies can put it behind them. But it's the road. The Rockies are now 3 games below .500. They continue to skid, but they go to a Nationals team. It's another situation where the Rockies are heading to a team that's bad at home, but they're bad on the road. So they got outdone. They got outdueled by Arizona at home, and now let's see how it happens in Nationals. I am scratching my head for any sort of answers from the Colorado Rockies. I mean, this bullpen we knew was going to be bad, but the piece that I was excited about, one of the young guys got shelled yesterday, Justin Lawrence, as I'm looking at the thing, but the Carlos Estevez experiment is getting real, real old. Adrian in my live chat asks how I'm doing. I'm not doing well. Honestly, I was looking at conspiracy theories earlier this week. I had to take a day off yesterday in the middle of the week to go into the woods and just walk. And when I left, 5-2 Rockies, Pirates, it's getting late. I'm like, great. The Rockies, 5 runs. 3 runs should be too much for the Pirates to score. I get out. My buddy texts me, bummer game today. I'm like, no. It was like the sixth. It was like the sixth inning. And then sure enough, massive home runs. The long ball has cursed the Rockies. The Rockies can't hit the long ball on the road, yet they give up a ton. I mean, Ethan, how important do you think is the home run in terms of offensive production? Do you think that it should continue to be the kind of the main run generating force that it seems for most teams today?
I mean, considering the Pirates are the team they are right now, sitting at 18-25 and virtually have no long ball, that should tell you a lot about how the long ball affects the game now. And I'm not saying it's the be-all, end-all. Every player doesn't need to be Joey Gallo, where it's either home run, strikeout, or walk. It's just that doesn't need to be how it is all the time. But it's very important to have the long ball invested in the game as it has been. But I'm not saying it's the be-all, end-all. Would it be nice for the Pirates to have it in their lineup? Of course. I mean, if you could have it in your lineup, yeah, of course. Especially in Coors Field. Of Coors Field, you really got to have that, right? I mean, you have to have that kind of thing invested, and I even think that's something the Rockies are keeping in mind. And one of the things I wanted to bring up to you, by the way, that I thought was really fun was just the Pittsburgh-Colorado connection with all the players over there in Colorado now, with Chad Kuhl, Connor Joe, Ilias Diaz. I was like, wow, it looks like I'm watching the farm system we had from 5 years ago on the field right now. And I'm like, wow, it'd be nice to have Connor Joe and Ilias Diaz on this team still.
Yeah, let's dive into that in just a second. But in talking about, it'd be nice to have options. It'd be nice to have a lot of good quality thing. Connor Joe is a good quality baseball player, so why not get good quality auto parts at rockauto.com? And when you do, you're going to save time and money. Don't spend 30% to 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore the easy-to-use website today, rockauto.com, to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. You know, Ethan, you brought up a really good point. It was a massive Pittsburgh crossover, and most of them shined. You know, Chad Kuhl had a really good start. There was nice little defense by Elias Diaz. His offense is struggling to start the year. What was it like for you seeing, you know, coming back? Connor Joe has to be the one that hurts the most. I mean, and honestly, Chad Kuhl is probably one of the biggest surprises, if not the biggest surprise on the Rockies this year.
Whenever we're wrapping up here, just go to a baseball reference and look at all of the Pirates pitchers that have left the team over the last couple of years, like Joe Musgrove, Chad Kuhl, Jameson Taillon, Joe Musgrove, Estevez for Bednar. No, stop asking. No. Anyways, all of them vastly improve when they leave Pittsburgh. Of course, we already know the one that I failed to mention and will fail to mention, unless you want to mention it since it's a crossover. I do not mention it on my podcast anymore because it's the death of me, honestly, to mention that wonderful trade from 2018. But every single time that you look at these pitchers, they struggle so much here. And I mean, even right now, still, I still have Gerrit Cole sitting on my desk. He's still right here. Look at what he's turned into since leaving Pittsburgh. I mean, it's infuriating, and all of it boils down to, I think, the pitching coach. People know that I hate Oscar Marine. I always tell them, name one pitcher he's made better, and somebody had the audacity to tell me Jose Quintana. Jose Quintana is a veteran pitcher. That does not count. This isn't 2013 through 2015 where you're trying to have a reclamation project with Francisco Liriano and AJ Burnett. It doesn't matter that Jose Quintana has a sub-3 ERA, except for the fact that he's going to get traded in July. Wow, Adrian, sorry, I'm getting thrown off because Adrian's out here throwing trade packages at me right now for Diaz and Estevez for Bednar right now.
That's what we do around here. My live chat's very active. They love to, especially Adrian. Adrian's always thinking of ways to get some of these.
He's going to ask for Brian Reynolds.
Yeah, I know, right? Listen, well, hey, we'll send you. Well, let's get that Cabrian Hayes guy in there too. Let's start mixing. He's someone I think that's got to be really exciting for Pirates fans. I think that what he's got to be, is he the kind of the hopeful new, the next face, the next kind of guy for the Pirates? Is that the hopes for him, or is that someone else coming up in the system?
Well, right now, I mean, he's the only person on the entire team on a deal past 2 years. So, I mean, 8 years, 8 years, $70 million, largest contract in Pirates history. Yeah, I know. That's sad. Wow. Little trivia question I always ask everybody: who was the highest paid Pirate before him? Before I continue,
I'm going to say McCutchen.
Nope, not even close. Jason Kendall. 7 years.
And you said the highest contract in Pirates, that's $70 million he's getting?
Mm-hmm. 8 years, $70 million. It's front-loaded, I believe, as well. I can't remember all of the details. But, I mean, when you hand a contract out like that to somebody that you – this is something the Pirates never did. They never did this before. I think that's the thing they are telling them. And everybody right now is saying, oh, Ke'Bryan Hayes doesn't have a home run, he's having a bad year. He has one of the best exit velocities on average in the entire league right now. Of course, the errors he's having at third base are kind of an issue because of the fact that, I mean, you signed him to that contract for his defensive ability, but he also leads all third basemen in defensive run saves. So it's like, okay, he has six errors, but he also leads the entire league at third base in defensive run saves. So For right now, I believe, yes, he would probably be the future face of what we're looking at. I mean, Brian Reynolds is still here, too. He's struggling a lot this year so far, but I think he'll get out of it. And then you're also going to have a lot of the other guys join. O'Neill Cruz, Nick Gonzalez, Yoelver Piguero, Mason Martin, Cal Mitchell, who just came up, Rowanzi Contreras, Quinn Priester. The list goes on and on and on. I could sit here for 2 hours and talk about these prospects. But, yes, I think right now they view him as the face, and if they signed him to an 8-year contract and don't believe in that, that's just kind of stupid. I mean, that's just stupid management to sign a guy to 8 years and be like, yes, sure. It's making me cough because of the fact.
Oh, well, you know, it's not like you offer a team 8-year deal and then you tell them that you're going to build around him, and then your relationship with him crumbles to the point where you side with your GM and you trade the third baseman that you've already signed for basically life at that point, for the career, and then trade him to another team and then pay them $50 million to pay that player to play for them instead. It'd be crazy to do that. I mean, that would be bad management. Bad management. Because you talk about trades you hate to talk about. There's one that I always talk about. Because I always talk about it because the pain has to stay there because it's dumb. It's still dumb. Yeah. It hasn't worked out. And the prospects will be fine, but I've developed into such a more of a win now mentality, and that's what the Rockies needed to do before they got to this situation. But Ethan, before we get away from it, you mentioned everyone's only on those 2-year deals. Is that because this youth wave is coming? Is that because the plan is we're still just filling time, giving this guy a little more time to develop, and then the youth wave's coming, and that's really what we want to do? That sounds like it might be kind of like one of a kind, leading the way with just hypothetically, in 3 years from now, the Pirates could basically be majority of players with years 1 to 3 of service time at the major league level, if I'm kind of following that timeline correctly.
Yeah, so Ben Cherington, over his track record in Boston and Toronto, that was kind of what he did, is he was like a big service time guy. He loved having control of players, which Adrian brought up Bednar, too much control on him to ever move him. You're looking at all these guys they have. O'Neill Cruz right now, obviously, service time manipulation is why he's still not in Pittsburgh yet, but they're going to get him for an extra year. So that, I mean, when I mentioned 2-year deals, Reynolds and Hayes, I believe, are the only guys that are on technically extensions. Yoshi is on a 1-year deal. Perez is on a 1-year deal, but it's nothing past that. Like, it's like 2-year deal for Reynolds was just to avoid arbitration until he becomes a free agent in a couple of years, which we'll see how that all plays out when we get to that time. But Hayes is the only one that's past that 2-year mark, and you're saying it's something that is one of a kind, and in a way it really is. I mean, they're putting so much stock into these guys, kind of just filling in little veteran spots. Like, you have Ben Gamel, Josh Van Meter, who I absolutely can't stand, Daniel Vogelbach, Roberto Perez, Jake Marisnyk, all these like veteran pieces that come in for 1-year deals. You then flip them, Jose Quintana. But at some point, I think it's going to be too much to say, okay, we don't need to bring in these veteran pieces anymore. If we do, they need to be veteran pieces that can help us win. Because at some point, like you said, about 2 or 3 years from now, you're going to be looking at a rotation that features Quinn Priester, Rowanzi Contreras, probably Carmen Majinski, Tanaj Thomas, Mitch Keller, whoever you want to throw in there, and a lineup that's probably going to feature guys like Yoelver Piguero, Nick Gonzalez, O'Neill Cruz, Key Brian Hayes, Brian Reynolds, Travis Swaggerty, Cal Mitchell, Henry Davis. I mean, Henry Davis, of course, being the number one overall pick last year, a catcher who's already moved up to AA this year, so he's already moving very fast. But, I mean, the team that you're looking at right now, and this could be the same for the Rockies, is not the same team you're going to be looking at in July. And I don't mean that in terms of record or how they're playing. I just mean physically on the field. The names you will see on the score sheet are not going to be what they are right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting point for the Rockies. I think that they might be active. They might move. I just don't know where they'd go. I don't know who is going to look at some of these pieces on the Rockies and how they upgrade. a Jose Iglesias move could happen if they want, if they're in a position where they say, you know what, maybe we're just going to give the young guy, you know, Tovar or some of these other guys to come up and, you know, play some more shortstop and go that direction. You're definitely hoping that some of this, I don't know, this bullpen's going to get shifted around and see some of these arms. The Rockies have a bunch of, you kind of need to prove it or move on from them this year. It would be nice for the Rockies to start really doing things. Example, Carlos Estevez, what are we doing with him? What is he going to do? All these young guys, the Godots, the Lamberts, the Lawrences even, how are they all going to prove themselves into this lineup? Some of them are still younger, still have some more time with the Rockies, but especially in this bullpen, the leash should be incredibly short and the Rockies should be looking to upgrade. And this surplus of outfielders they have, they are with when eventually Chris Bryant gets back into the lineup consistently, which if he's not having surgery and if he's not only, it eventually will even out. He will be in the lineup, you know, more consistently once his back just backs are weird. It might just take a little bit of time to get things right. But for me, I'm not counting him out forever because there's no surgery involved. It's just going to take a little bit more time, apparently. But that's going to leave this, you know, you still have this logjam of outfielders. Your bullpen's a mess. The Rockies have to make moves and they should be a different looking team in July. Will that be the case? I don't know, because they need to, the Rockies ceiling, I said at the beginning of the year, was third wild card. And if they want to be even in that conversation, they have to stop sliding now. They have to stop the skid. They can't go and score in a three game set against Pittsburgh.
Seven.
They can't score seven runs across three games. It simply cannot happen when you're playing teams that have struggled and aren't at that. I mean, the guy that started the first game has just dominated the Rockies over two starts now. I don't think he's let up a run in like like 17 innings against the Rockies with like 6-7 Ks in both of those starts. It's wild. It's mind-boggling to watch the Rockies go on the road and completely forget how to hit. Their approach looks different. I know people talk about the ball moving different. Then there needs to be an adjustment. Something has to change here. Like, we can't just keep throwing hands up and saying, it's the Rockies in the road and Coors Field and blah, blah, blah. What are we doing? What are we doing to change it? Let's do a different bat grip. Let's do a different stance in the box. Let's get out early so you take more hacks on the field so you can start seeing the pitch. I don't know. I'm not an expert, but it's certainly frustrating for the Rockies at this point where the road things, it's just like, well, it's the Rockies in the road, and you just kind of throw your hands up and that's it.
You create confidence for your opponents. That's your specialty. Yeah, that's usually what the Pirates do too, by throwing an opener out there. And then I was looking too, just because I was going to get into talking about where these teams are moving forward. I mean, the Pirates have the Padres and the Dodgers the next two series. But I was looking at it and how you guys started your set with us, and then you play a Nationals team that's, don't even get me started, the Marlins, and then you play another team in the Braves that are all under 500. This should have been a stretch for the Rockies where they're looking at this like, hey, dude, like, this is when we get things together. And for the Pirates, I mean, their next set's against the Padres, the Dodgers, and then the Diamondbacks. It's going to be like, hey, like, just stay afloat.
Yeah.
For the Rockies, though, it's like, hey, you guys should have been trying to pick things up. So over here in Pittsburgh, we'll try to help you over the next week. We can change.
But that's the thing, that I don't know how much help the Pirates are going to be, because that's a way tough stretch. But I'm more confident in the Pirates at this point going in there and performing more than the Rockies going out on the road and going. They should really handle business in Washington, but they should have handled business in Pittsburgh and they didn't. And until they change they started to change the road narrative for the Rockies, but then it's all fallen apart from there. And if you are looking to not fall apart and bolster your business with new hires and a new look for your team, well, why don't you check out LinkedIn Talent? And you can go see their LinkedIn jobs over there, because LinkedIn Jobs has the network of the biggest and the best. It is over 810 million people of professionals, all sorts of great folks ready to fill your job. All you got to do is head over there, create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs, and then you can add the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile. That'll spread the word that you're hiring. And with their simple tools like screening questions, it'll make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competition. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. Terms and conditions do apply. You just nailed it there, Ethan, before we took that break. It was the fact that the Rockies should be taking advantage of it. Why they aren't, I don't know, because this is a team that has pieces that can contribute and do so, led by Connor Joe, and you have the power of CJ Krohn. But man, I'm looking at this Marlins team and I'm thinking another thing where the Rockies are going to score 3 runs in that series. I just simply have no answers for offense. So I'm curious, how do you stay positive when your team isn't scoring runs? Give me some therapy here, Ethan.
Well, I mean, as I mentioned before, when my bullpen is keeping us in games, even when we're not scoring runs, that helps. At least gives me something to watch in the 7th, 8th, and the 9th inning when they're just not giving up any runs but not scoring any runs. I'll say that. So if your bullpen can turn a corner, or even if your starters can turn a corner, keep you in those games. I mean, like they did the first two. I mean, 2-1 and 2-1. You managed to get the other one the extra innings and win that game. You stayed in the other game on Monday. That's really how it is. But I mean, for the Pirates, I mean, in that Cardinal series, they lost 18-4 on Sunday. But the two games before that, 5-4, 5-3, they kept them in. 3-2 against the Cubs. I mean, they've done that all year. It's just, they're not scoring runs, but they're also not doing a terrible job of giving up runs either. Of course, you have the outliers where they give up 18 to the Cardinals, 21 to the Cubs, and stuff like that. That kind of stuff just happens when you're a bad baseball team. But for the Padres series that we start tomorrow because we're off today, that's all I'm looking for again. Just look like a competitive baseball team. That's all I ever ask out of this team. You're not trying to win. The front office has already basically said that with the moves they've made and the things they've done. They're basically not trying to win. Michael Chavis is one of our best hitters, and he's not in the lineup every day. So I don't know what you guys want to do. So anyways, if I'm giving you therapy, I would just say hope that your pitching staff can keep you in these games. And then based off of pure talent alone, sometimes and more likely than not, somebody in your lineup is going to give you that extra juice you need.
The Rockies are just waiting for the breakout performance. They're looking to just break this skid. And they have the ability. This team started off the year on a good stretch. This team has the ability to score and drive in runs. It's something they have shown the ability to do so. And we're going to keep hope alive as best as possible. Because again, the Rockies can turn things around. If the Rockies go and take down, I just got all this stuff happening on my end here with people trying to call me here on stuff. But anyway, I was saying, the Rockies have a stretch where they can get back above 500, and especially on the road here as well. They can go out and get back above 500 if they go out and handle business. If they sweep the Nationals, they're back above 500, and you can't feel good about it. And you can't sit there and rule out the fact of going into Washington and taking care of business. But the last time the Rockies saw the Nationals, they hit around. The Rockies seem to just let teams build up that offense, and it comes from the bullpen. But Ethan, after watching this series with everything coming up, who do you think is going to finish with a better overall, you know, in terms of performance, in terms of future stuff, in terms of next stuff for the team? Who's going to have a better 2022, the Colorado Rockies or the Pittsburgh Pirates?
You guys.
Yeah. It's, you know,
simple.
Maybe I'm a little blinded, but because those are some tough losses, but this does, the way you've told me, it just kind of seems like that holding pattern. You're so close, but in reality, you have to keep being realistic. Whereas the Rockies have never done something that the Pirates have done. They never really wanted to do this youth wave. The Rockies will never do the rebuild, so to speak. Do you think that's the better call to do, going through it now and being so close to this youth wave? Is the rebuild the way to go, or should teams kind of adopt, and it's not the same sport, but the LA Rams model of screw the draft, screw this. We have an opportunity to win now. Let's go chips in to win now.
I think the rebuild is a good way to do it if you do it correctly. That's the big part. You have to do it correctly, because if you do it wrong, you screw yourself. Look at the Baltimore Orioles right now. Love Connor, love everything he's doing over there at Locked On Orioles, but they've been rebuilding for how long now? I mean, it's been like 6-7 years at least. That's off the top of my head. Pirates, for the same stroke of it, same deal. I mean, they haven't played postseason baseball since 2015, when they had the second best record in all of baseball, and had to play a wild card game against Jake Arrieta and get absolutely clobbered. But at the end of the day, I think the rebuilding strategy is a great way to do it, because the Cubs even used that strategy very well and won a World Series out of it because they did it correctly. If the team can do it correctly and the management can do it correctly, it's a great way to do it. But also on the other end, like you said, if a team wants to be in win now mode and go spend out money, that's going to be a big deal. And even Adrian said the Marlins are even still rebuilding. Yes, they are. But through that rebuild, would they have been able to get Pablo Lopez and Sandy Alcantara and all of these top pitchers they have, on top of also getting Anderson and all of the Jazz Chisholm and all of these top players? No. But those are the building blocks and the seeds that you're going to find and build around that are eventually going to get you back to a couple years of competing and then more than likely running the cycle through again.
And you have to embrace that for teams like the Pirates, teams like the Rockies aren't going to always spend big. The Rockies might change, however. I think the Rockies, with the signing of Chris Bryant and some of the money that they've been handing out, that could change. But if you can do it effectively and you do it, you kind of understand the cycle of, here's the competitive window, we got our chance, and then we got to go through it. But it's kind of refresh. It sucks, but it's also kind of refreshing knowing if you kind of understand that. But it's also a little bit frustrating as well, because you wish your team could just always drop the money on the next big person and do it. But baseball's so finicky in that too. Sometimes even the big deals, the big trades, everything don't pan out. I mean, you mentioned, you know, 2018 is something for the Pirates. We don't need to go into too much detail, but it's baseball has more risk when it comes to signing the players, bringing them in, doing the big trades than I think other sports do, just because of how tough baseball is as a sport.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, you're also other sports, when you're looking at it, in the NFL, 53 guys. It's a decent amount. The NBA, 13 guys during the regular season, but how many during the playoffs? 9, 10? NHL, you're dealing with about 20 guys. 24 lines, but 23 guys. We'll do it that way. Baseball, man, you're dealing with 26 on the major league roster, but no other league, the NHL maybe, but no other league has so much depth that you have to pay attention to. And most people who play MLB The Show would be like, oh, I thought it only goes down to AA. No, pal. It keeps going and going and going. It goes from triple, double, single, high A, rookie ball, even below that. I've seen professional baseball below high A. And, man, it's wild, because you know who I got to see down there when I was in Augusta, play the Augusta Green Jackets down there in low A? Yoan Moncada, when he was a top prospect for the Chicago White Sox. If anybody wants to talk about depth and trades being very difficult in baseball, just imagine a guy like Yoan Moncada being literally at the bottom of the totem pole for probably 3 years, I think, at least, before he even gets the chance to debut. O'Neill Cruz has over 1,500 at-bats in minor league baseball and has seen like 3 at-bats as a major league player. That's why it's so hard, man. It's difficult. And that's why the rebuilding strategy, it's hard to say, is there a certain right way to do it or a wrong way to do it? Not really. The Tampa Bay Rays, for example, have molded their own way of doing it and got to a World Series. Everybody just has to find what works for them.
Yep. And, you know, the best way to, it's one thing at a time, but, you know, at least we get to enjoy baseball nonetheless. Ethan, we're going to wind things down here for this episode of both Locked On Rockies and Locked On Pirates. Before we do that, Ethan, for those that want to stay up to date with the Pirates and all the great things that you do over there on Locked On Pirates, where should they go?
Spotify, Odyssey, Google Play, YouTube, everywhere. It's on everything that you would find Paul's podcast. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter right there at @MVP_Ethan or follow this podcast on Twitter at Locked On Pirates. It's a very fun little thing to always tune into and have fun with, so you can't ever go wrong there. But yeah, I'm going to just be covering the team, talking about these NL West battles. So if you want to see how we're trying to help the Rockies, there you go.
Yeah, no better time to be checking out Locked On Pirates than right now as they go through the NL West gauntlet. And I wish you luck, because we don't even like that. And I hope the traffic isn't too bad. With I was really distracted by the bridge and the construction work thing. That threw me off completely. So I hope you don't have to deal with too much traffic. For you Pirates fans out there, I'm Paul Holden. You can find me at PaulHolden33 on Twitter or at LO Rockies. We're also, like I said, on all your favorite streaming services. That YouTube subscription is a huge help, folks. If you like your Locked On shows, if you like these Locked On hosts, the best way to help us, honestly, real quick, other than listening and downloading every day, is hit that subscribe button on YouTube. It's a massive, massive help for us here. Now that you've made Locked On Rockies and Locked On Pirates your first listen of the day, why don't you go check out the Locked On Now or the Locked On MLB podcast. Stay up to date with everything in the world of sports with the Locked On Now podcast. And there's really no one that's got a bigger baseball brain than Sully over there on Locked On MLB, one of the best to talk about baseball, past, present, and future. And if you in the Pittsburgh and in Colorado area like basketball, football, and hockey, well, guess what? The Locked On Podcast Network has a podcast for you. Avalanche hopefully going to bounce back after a tough loss last night as well. Two tough losses for Colorado teams yesterday. But Ethan, thank you so much for the time.
Of course, man.